Just after 9, hope your day is off to a good start. With Tyler Aki in for Hoodie, he'll be back tomorrow. I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. So Shay brought up this topic, Lil Wayne's in concert. Jay Moore said he was introducing a new act. People didn't like the new act, so they weren't fired up and all into it. So after 30 minutes, he went, I don't like this crowd. I'm out. See ya. And left.
Yeah.
Took off. And I think that is way out of bounds. You do not.
I do not. No. The tickets are a two-way experience there.
No.
For a concert? Yeah.
No.
For a concert? Oh, absolutely. This is a two-way experience because the artist will vibe off of the crowd and vice versa.
Like, if you're telling me...
This is a tandem performance.
And not after 30... Like, not after 30 minutes. Like, I saw Springsteen last week. He played 3 hours. 2 hours and 56 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He was amazing. There's no opener. There's no intermission. It's him and the E Street Band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's amazing. Now... He played 28 songs. I have the set list.
Mm-hmm.
He played 28 songs. And the crowd was incredible. But if you said, you're Bruce, and the crowd wasn't great, I'm out after 26 songs, I'm not playing the last two on the encore. Okay, I get it. Whatever. You didn't feel it from the 30 minutes? No. You do not have that right as a performer to take my money and then go, yeah, I don't like the crowd, I'm out. How would you feel if you paid for that?
Then I wouldn't be happy, but I totally understand it from the performers. He can't do his best work.
As Robbie says on Twitter, maybe he wasn't performing well enough to get the crowd into it. Maybe it's on him.
It might be.
Did they get refunds?
Like, they're not going...
I don't know. Shay might know the answer to that.
I doubt they got refunded on that. But, no, you look at what Lil Wayne... like. With these performances, you need a spirited crowd. That's part of these. If you've ever been to a Lil Wayne show and you see like a lot of these performances, you need a spirited crowd. Every sort of performer is different. But if you're going to a Lil Wayne show, you know it's going to be more upbeat than some of the other shows that you might go to. I get, like, listen, as a fan, if you were at that show, you have every right to be pissed, but you also should look a little inward as well.
It's like if you go to a comedy show and the comedian's bombing and the audience doesn't laugh and he's like, F you, you need to laugh at my bad jokes, and walks off the stage.
Again, you asked me to pay for a ticket. I don't know what the ticket costs. What would the ticket cost?
I'd imagine it's
a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
For Lil Wayne?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to walk out after 30 minutes and you expect to keep my money. No, there's a contract there. You're going to put on a show. I'm going to pay you for said show.
But there's no contract that says how long the show is.
Okay.
The contract could be that, oh, hey, you know what? He's only supposed to do... There's no contract for a show length on there. He may only have intended to do 30 minutes.
No shot.
I don't think that was his intent, but he could do a show for 2 minutes.
Now,
we go to the Kentucky Derby, right? That's a two-minute race.
That's totally different. You know that horses don't stop halfway around. The jockey's like, eh, crowd's crappy. We're out. No. They finished the race. I made it part of our vacation, but I went to Europe to see Bruce Springsteen. And the tickets were not cheap.
Right.
If you said 30 minutes in, Bruce went, yeah, lousy crowd, I'm out. Yes, I would be demanding my money back. Demanding. I would have. If there was a class action, I would sign on.
30 minutes in?
If he said 30 minutes in.
But he gave you a 30-minute show.
That's not part of the deal.
Why is that not part of the deal?
Because
does it say on the ticket that Bruce must perform for 2.5 hours or your money back?
I've seen him 20-some times, and every show is almost 3 hours or more.
Okay.
30 minutes, and he went, nah, we're cutting it short. See you later. No chance.
It's not like he no-showed. He showed up.
No chance. All right,
so the more I'm reading about this, it seems like Lil Wayne arrived a few hours late. He was an hour later than he was billed to open. And then 30 minutes into his show, he had an intermission where he brought out other younger artists to perform instead of him. And that's where the crowd turned. I'd be kind of pissed.
But no one's on time, too. For these shows,
being late is fine. Being late, playing 30, and then leaving the stage.
Was this in the United States or Europe?
L.A. It was the finale of his tour.
This makes sense then. L.A. fans don't show up for anything.
The show we went to the other day, we were warned when we picked up our ticket. When I got the email where I'm picking up my tickets because I bought them through a charity. They said,
Bruce.
Yeah, the show starts at 7, not 7:01, 7.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, 7 o'clock, that band was rocking.
Yeah.
Right on the number. Let's go to the phones. Our guy Derek in Brooklyn has a thought on this. Derek, what's up, man?
Yo, what's cracking? What's going on,
what's
man?
What's cracking?
I totally disagree with Tyler, man. Check this out, man. I went to a concert last week in New York. It's called the Legend of the Streets Tour. You had Young Jeezy, T.I., Cam'ron. And the opening show, you know who they brought out? They brought out Memphis Bleek and Beanie Siegel. I didn't go there to see them, and I wasn't all hyped to see them when they came out. But if Young Jeezy would have came out and said he's not performing, he's stopping the show because nobody was cheering for them other dudes, I would have threw an apple at his head because I paid $350, my man.
Right.
So people didn't pay to see Lil Twist. People paid to see Lil Wayne. So if Lil Wayne chose to put Lil Twist out there and the crowd wasn't vibing to him, because they didn't want to see him, man. They wanted to see Lil Wayne. And then on top of that, Shay just said Lil Wayne came late. So you try to throw your young artists out there to try to, you know, minimize the fact that you was late. Come on, Tyler, man. You're better than that, dude. I'm out, man.
I don't know if I am better than that, but
you're the man, Derek. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Adam in Wheaton. Adam, what's up, Sparkles?
What's up there, Skittles?
How you doing?
So I actually, the last caller, Derek, basically summed it up for me, is that, one, you're late, two, it's Lil Wayne's fault for bringing out artists that he didn't do enough research on to see, like,
didn't do enough research, he's signed to their label, you think he's just signing people willy-nilly? You get a deal with Young Money, you get a deal with Young Money, no, that's not how this works!
Well, I mean, and then also, I mean, it's not up to the crowd. Unfortunately, I mean, you go, you pay. It's not even that. Also, Lil Wayne tickets are so astronomically expensive.
How much are they?
So to go out for 30 minutes and then leave? Yeah, I would be extremely upset because they'd be like, oh, you went to the show. You only got 30 minutes. Oh, well. About what you talked about earlier about seeing someone in concert that you wish that you would have seen, I wish I would have seen Linkin Park.
There you go.
All right. That's a good one.
It's one of my kids, Garrett. He loves Linkin Park. Hey, man, appreciate the call, Adam. 312-332-3776. Let's go to our guy, Justin, in Dallas. Hey, Justin, what's up, bud?
Hey, good morning, Cap, Tyler. I hope everything is good.
You too, man.
I called because I wanted to weigh in on the Ja Morant situation. Honestly, I feel like he should have to sit out for a season.
I have no problem with that.
The reason why I say it is because he pretty much blatantly lied to the commissioner and to everybody. I feel like he was reading off script the last time when he gave him the 8-game suspension, pretty much just telling everybody what they wanted to hear. I feel like in the back of his head, he probably knew that maybe he knew that a situation like this was going to come up again. He just didn't know that he was going to get caught. Like, I don't take that lightly. Like, you laugh. Like, you got people that look up to you. And he's a hell of a player. I'm not going to lie to you, Cap. If the situation presented itself, I probably would want him on the Bulls just to bring some sort of spark to the team. But, I mean, I feel like he does need to sit out a year. As far as the Lil Wayne situation goes, yeah, I'd have been pissed off, too. Like, dude, we paid, I don't know, however much for your ticket, and then you're going to cut the show short because your artist that's supposed to be trained And to move the crowd wasn't pretty much satisfied with him. So that's his fault. You don't cut the show short because your artist can't live up to the billing. But that's my take on it. I appreciate it. I want to send my condolences out to Hoodie and his family. I know that's a bad situation, and I'm praying for him. And thanks a lot for taking my call, Cap. You know it's all love all the time.
You're the best, Justin. Have a great day, man. Appreciate you. 312-332-3776. Al in Lamont. Al.
Tyler, I'm so upset you're making me agree with Cap, first of all.
Take that.
Number two, I bought, and it's crazy, but I have two little girls. I just spent $6,000 for the worst seats in Soldier Field for this.
Good luck.
Concert. Right. But this lady, Taylor Swift, in the rain in Nashville, I don't know if you guys saw this, it was a rain out. She came out at 1 a.m. after they shut the stadium down to start the concert. So she waited and put on a full show at 1 a.m. in the rain. This guy came out for 30 minutes and he was late. And you're telling me I got to placate to him and cheer him up to sing? Dude, that's his job. He's a performer. I could sit there with my hands crossed, chilling on the seat, not moving my body. Dude's got to sing and rap. Give me some tunes, bro. Not for 30 minutes. Give me an hour or two at least. And I don't care what the cost is. If Taylor Swift doesn't show up, man, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah. Well said. Completely agree. 100%. By the way, Raphael on Twitter says, I would have thrown an apple at his head should be the line of the day. That's from our guy, Derek, in Brooklyn. 312-332-3776. If you remember back, who's Danny's guy musically? That'd be Eddie Vedder.
Mm-hmm.
Pearl Jam was here, and it was like a monsoon at Wrigley. Mm-hmm. Danny, if Danny's in the building, tell him to come down. Because Danny, I believe, was at that show. Pearl Jam's at Wrigley. It's pouring rain. They finally get it started. Now they're going to run up against the Wrigleyville curfew.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie Vedder, if I remember correctly, Ernie Banks, rest in peace, was on stage with him. And Eddie said, we'll pay the fine. And I think the Ricketts family ended up paying the fine.
Okay.
We'll go past the curfew. Keep it rolling. And they did. And he stayed out there so people got their money's worth.
But here's the thing. When you've got rain at a concert and then finally the artist emerges,
mm-hmm.
then the fans go insane.
Sid Brinkstein, I was there when it rained.
Yeah. And, oh, I'm sure.
And he kept going.
Yeah. But
he
when the rain brings a part of the atmosphere. I believe he performed this indoors, too. So you're not going to get rain. You're rarely going to get rain in L.A. anyway.
Abdallah said, I've got some stories after all the concerts I've been to, and he'll tell them with us. Talk to us about them at Crosstalk.
All right.
We've got callers that want to defend Lil Wayne, plus Bulls miss out in the lottery. We're having fun. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out. They pull me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Boy, the Lil Wayne stuff getting a lot of reaction. Phone lines, social media, texts. My friend Gordon Wittenmeyer covers the Cubs, says,
big fan of Gordon.
Is Tyler out of his mind? Lil Wayne is a professional. It's his responsibility to deliver a performance per whatever the industry standard for a concert is or what the price suggests. The risk the ticket buyer takes is the show might be bad, not that the plug might be pulled before it's done. Take that.
It could be. No, the risk the ticket buyer takes is anything happens once you walk in those doors.
No, absolutely
yes.
not.
Yes.
So if you bought a ticket.
I'm not saying I wouldn't be upset. Like, if I was at that concert, yeah, I would be upset. But the artist is entitled to their art.
No. Lil Wayne was going to bounce. He should have just refunded their money. I believe
right.
that's what he should have did.
That's what he should. You know what? This isn't going the way I want it. You get refunds at the ticket window. I'm out. Can't just walk out and keep the money? No chance. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Moriano up in Milwaukee. Moriano, what's up?
How you guys doing?
How you doing?
It's a very funny conversation. So Up in Milwaukee, we got Summerfest, and Lil Wayne actually just performed this past summer. Great concert. He was there for more than 30 minutes. But I'm the mindset cap. Whoever you go with is going to be fun, right? I'm not going to take my dad to a Lil Wayne concert. It's going to be boring. But I feel like whoever you surround yourself with at the concert can be fun. So even if he's up there for 30 minutes, if I'm pre-gaming, having a little buzz, having fun, I can make the most of it. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call. Naj on Twitter says, Lil Wayne is my favorite rapper of all time, but even I can't defend what he did. If I came to see him in concert, why would I be excited to see an artist I have no clue about? It's his fault for not marketing his artist better anyway.
He's what, 40 years old, though? Like, he's not doing this forever. He's showing you the next generation of his label. When he's going on tour, he's also promoting the entirety of his brand. He's entitled to do that. It's his show. You paid for a ticket to his show.
I don't disagree.
And I'm sure it was in the Lil Wayne featuring Young Money, and then this is part of what Young Money is.
Correct, but not walk out after 30 minutes. Can't do it. Can't do it. And the next thing you'll hear, there'll be a class action suit, and I'll have to give everybody their money back. Yeah, he's 40 years of age. 40. Let's go back to the phones. We go to Brian in Jefferson Park. Hey, Brian.
What up, Cappy? What up, Tyler? How you
boys
doing?
What's up, Brian?
All right, now I'm going to make two points here. I've been a musician, a performer, and I'm still in the music industry, so I'm going to make a point for each angle. As a musician, there are two elements that make a great show, the musician and the crowd. Without both of those elements working together, that show is done, cut it, be gone. We've done it before. I've seen it done before. It happens. They need to reciprocate the energy being put back and forth. There needs to be those two elements. So if the crowd wasn't into it, the artist's not going to be into it, it's over. And now the business end. Everybody's jumping to conclusions saying that Lil Wayne walked out after a half an hour and then let Young Money come up there and do the rest of the showcase. And that's a key word. It's a showcase. He is presenting these new artists to the fans. So at that point, we do not know contractually if he was supposed to perform more than 30 minutes. That's the point I'm trying to make in being on the business end of the music business.
Mm-hmm.
That happens very often. So, I mean, let's just take a step back here and find out what exactly was going on. That's all I wanted to do. Just wanted to stick up for an artist. You guys make your own points.
Appreciate the opinion and the informed perspective that you brought. 312-332-3776 if you want to weigh in. The Bulls missed out in the lottery last night.
The number one pick in the 2023 NBA draft goes to the San Antonio Spurs.
That was the managing partner of the Spurs. Yeah. As soon as he heard the second pick will be the Charlotte Hornets, he went nuts. Good for him, man. Yeah. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, I think with the Spurs, too, like, I mean, that's a franchise that's done really well with some number one overall picks in the past. And
David Robinson. Mm-hmm. How about this bizarre thing? David Robinson was in the 87 draft.
Correct.
98 was Tim Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
And now they get the number one with Victor Wembanyama.
Yep.
Greg Popovich was working for the Spurs in 87, 98, and 2023. That's insane. That's,
yeah. And that is that's why he's a Hall of Famer. That's why he's considered one of the greatest basketball minds and coaches of all time. When you can have the lifespan for three number one overall picks, like that's something right there. I will say, and I was talking about this a little with Jeff Meller last night about some of the teams that, okay, if the Bulls strike out, who would you want to see him go to?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I think the Pistons would be cool because of all the young talent that they've got there. And then the Spurs would be the other one because you get Pop. Now, I don't think Pop sees the end of Wembanyama's career as the head coach of the Spurs, but I think he deserves one last launching point here. He's given too much to the game. I'm happy for the Spurs that they get to share this now.
Yeah, it's cool for the Spurs. I don't.
Happy for the Spurs?
Yeah.
They have enough. Are you serious?
They've won five freaking titles.
The best part of last night was the Spurs guy jumping up and down, hyped, let's go, running over to Mark Tatum in front of a very angry crowd. That was the best.
That was, yeah, you look at, but like, I think that Pop deserves one last chance to go out a winner, too, because there's been very little talent there ever since the drop off from Duncan. And it's also cool too, like Boris Diaw, former Spur, he's had ties to Wembanyama in the past through his French connections. Tony Parker, a former Spur, he obviously has ties to Wembanyama because I'm trying to remember. I think Parker is a minority owner of one of the teams Wembanyama played for, and Diaw is either a coach or in management for another team that Wembanyama played for. So now he gets to go into a comfortable situation, and it may be what ultimately will allow him to thrive the best as well because of the familiarity with some of the franchise.
Okay, so after we end up puking all over ourselves last night in the draft, what happens to our Bulls? Like, the White Sox stink. Mm-hmm. The Cubs stink right now. Mm-hmm. Both teams. The Bears, I hope they have a better year. I don't think they're prognosticated to go to the playoffs and win the Super Bowl. The Blackhawks, by their own words, I'm quoting them. This is going to take multi-years to get this right. Cool, Connor Bedard's coming here. Cool. They're not going to the playoffs next year, and they're not contending for the title. What in the hell do we have to cheer for here right now?
There's nothing. There's nothing. I mean, the only thing you have to cheer for is maybe a Cubs turnaround, right? Because it's not going to happen with the White Sox.
Until football. Right. And then we'll hopefully Justin's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Nagy spoke and came out yesterday and said the Bears have the right guy, blah, 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 about Justin. Well, of course he's going to say that. He was part of the group that drafted him.
Right.
What do you think he's going to say? Right. Well, that guy stinks.
He gains nothing from saying anything like that.
Correct. We were in the car. Shay, you remember this? Shay and I are in Indy. We're getting ready to leave Indy after we did the show at the draft. We had Ryan Poles. Shay and I go get the car. I come back. I bring the car back so we can load all the gear up that Shay had engineered the show. We're driving away from the convention center, and Shay goes, oh, look who's walking right by our car.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Nagy. By himself. There's no one around. And I'm like, oh, don't let him see me. He's not a fan.
I told you to roll your window down and
He's
say
like,
hello.
Roll the window down and say hi. I go, why? So I can have him tell me to go F myself? He's like, it'd be a great show bit.
Yeah, that would be, yeah.
Who's going to record it on my phone?
It would have been great for content.
Peek my phone up over the window, uh-huh. Have Cap say hello to Matt Nagy, get a nice little F off, and put that on the show. It would be great.
Given if you ever saw Matt Nagy do a press conference, he would roundabout his way to telling you to go F off. I don't think he'd be direct and to the point telling you to F off.
Maybe on the street.
Yeah, with nobody around.
To Cap? That's like the dream moment for
Nagy. Nagy's not a mic drop guy. He's a, we have to find the longest route possible. He takes the scenic route to get to the final destination there. When he's talking, you saw those press conferences.
Yeah. As
they were like 25 minutes long.
Was it Waddle or Sylvie who called it word salad?
That would have been terrible. Imagine we roll the window down, Cap says hello to Nagy, and then we're stuck there on the side of the road for 18 minutes listening to an 18-minute F-off.
Yeah, well, exactly. You see, we trust what we did and go blank yourself.
Wow. Not good. Not good. So, anyway. Back to, we were discussing the Chicago Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow we ended up to Matt Nagy. I just got a tweet that has concerned me about the Bulls' future. Like, Shay, did you make the comment this morning, well, they finally are out from underneath having to give their picks to other people? Did you say that?
No, I never said that. They don't have a pick in 2025.
Yeah, they're out.
Okay, so in 2024... the Blazers pick goes to the Bulls, but it's protected top 14.
Mm-hmm.
So we need the Blazers to be good. Probably not going to happen. And then in round two, the Bulls give their pick to the Pelicans for Lonzo Ball.
This is why I made the point to you this morning, Cap, that they, look, I know it's going to be painful. I know you don't want to watch it, but this doesn't end with a banner. This ends badly.
And then
you can hit the nuclear button now and eject. And it's going to be painful early, but at least you start early rather than let's just keep running on the treadmill to nowhere.
Don't kick the can down the road.
2025, Bulls pick protected top 10, and then if it's not in the top 10, it goes to the Spurs.
And then in round two, you don't have a pick because it's also going to the Spurs.
Correct.
So 2025, you've got no picks. 2023, you've got no picks. 2024, you have a first rounder and maybe two, but one of them's going to be outside the lottery if you are getting that second. Like, you need to start collecting assets right now.
Potentially there's no way out of this next year.
Yeah. There's no way out of this aside from collecting assets.
Right, you now have the LaVine contract along with the Lonzo contract handcuffing you for the next two free agencies. You really just, you got to hit the nuclear button and get some assets. You just have to.
Not
no way out.
Not good. Wow, I'm looking at their future draft capital. Not good at all. Who is the most likable sports superstar? Shea has a candidate. We've touched on him a little bit earlier in the show. Right now, today, we're not talking about likable to his teammates. We're talking about likable to you, the fan base. So you're like, oh, that guy is appealing. I like that guy. Mm-hmm. Who is that? Anywhere in sports. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
Here's today's headlines with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Cubs lost their four straight last night, pummeled by the Astros 7-3, longest losing streak of the year. They're 8-17, their last 25. They're 19-23 in the year, fourth in the NL Central. Back at it again tonight. White Sox picked up a needed victory behind a very strong start from Lance Lynn, 8-3 over Cleveland. First of 13 straight against AL Central opponents. Spurs won the NBA draft lottery, the rights to draft French star Victor Wembanyama. He's 7 foot, anywhere between 7'3 and 7'5, depending on which scout you believe. Bulls pick came in at number 11, so it conveys to the Magic final payment for the Nikola Vucevic trade. Lakers made a comeback effort last night in Denver, 21 down in the third, got it to 3. Lose 132-126 to lose game one. The Eastern Conference final starts tonight with the Celtics and the Heat at 7:30. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Rolling on, I'm Cap J. Hood. I'm David Kaplan. Hoodie is off today for a family funeral. Ariana Preston, the police officer that was brutally gunned down last week, that was Hoodie's first cousin, and they were exceptionally close, and he was devastated, as is his family. He is at the funeral this morning, and the pictures that are coming across on social media just... The crowd is insane how big it is. Mm-hmm. And Hoodie said she was that rare, special person. He goes, you say that about a lot. She was that person.
Yeah.
And wanted to be a police officer to give back to the community. And she was murdered last week. So, Hoodie, we've got your back, man. 312-332-3776. Who is the most likable superstar in sports? Shea, who's your candidate?
I would offer Joe Burrow as the one, because he's the one guy right now that's doing what Tom Brady used to do, and he's mentioning the other extensions on his team that are necessary, and he may take less money in this next contract to make sure that those can get done. I think he's very cool, likable off the field and all that we see of him. And the big one, he hasn't won enough to be a villain.
Yeah, he's not disliked for winning enough. That is true. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely true. He dresses cool. He plays the part when they show up to road games. You're like, oh, look at that outfit. Like, he has fun with all of it.
Post-game, the post-game fits, too.
Yeah. So who else is a candidate?
I think there's a couple that also come to mind. I mean, I still think Patrick Mahomes is in that conversation. Even though he has won a pair of Super Bowls, I still think he's in that conversation. Now, I know some people may push back and say, oh, but his brother. It feels like he's separated who he is from what his brother is.
His brother's a clown.
I mean, you talk about just, yeah. Clown is the perfect word to put it.
Clown.
For him, yes.
A complete clown.
But I feel like he has separated enough from that where, like, people root for him because he has sort of distanced himself from his brother's actions.
I mean, we don't see him around his brother. We certainly don't.
And then a couple of the other ones that I thought of, too. I think Shohei Ohtani's certainly in that conversation. And then what we saw last night, a player we saw last night, Nikola Jokic, is in that conversation, too. Particularly with Jokic, because you look at him and you're like, that guy's doing this? Like, he's just kind of this pudgy guy who lumbers up and down the court. But he does everything with such grace, and it's tough not to love. I mean, he put up a football scoreboard yesterday. What was it, 34-24-17? Like,
yeah, it was insane.
It was an insane stat line last night, and you're like, oh, that guy's doing that? Like,
what about Anthony Rizzo?
I said superstar.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good baseball player.
He's a great player, but I don't think I would put him. And I think once you put the Yankee pinstripes on, you lose it.
Absolutely.
Because that is a villainous team to a lot of people. So wow. Once you put the pinstripes on, you lose it. If he was a Cub, hell, if he went to the Texas Rangers, he'd probably still be in that lovable conversation. But because he went to the Yankees, you lose it.
I don't think you lose it. He's a cancer survivor. He does unbelievable stuff for the cancer community through his foundation.
I'm not saying it makes him a bad guy.
And he's a hell of a player.
I'm not saying it makes him a bad guy because he's with the Yankees. I'm just saying that the public perception is, once those Yankee pinstripes go on, villain.
He's also just, like, Cap, he's light years behind Mahomes and Burrow.
Oh, I'm not telling you he's
at that
level. No. He's not.
He's a huge Chicago star, I would think, but very far behind the sports superstars like Ohtani, Jokic, LeBron, who I don't think is among the most likable.
Yeah. I think LeBron has recovered very nicely from some of his lack of popularity after the decision.
Winning in Cleveland, going back to Cleveland, yes, healed a lot of wounds. Winning healed a lot of wounds, but then you go to the Lakers and like...
Yeah, but how can LeBron not be likable? What he does for charity, for that school that he built and pays for kids to go to college.
He does great things.
And that high school.
He lies in press conferences.
Oh, I don't care about anyone that lies in a press
weirdo.
Conference.
Here's my thing. Why is he a weirdo?
Because he lies in press conferences. Why do you need to do that?
No, that doesn't make you weird.
That's a weirdo thing. That's weird.
No, you want to tell me that the Taco Tuesday makes you weird?
That is also weird.
You want to tell me the can't believe this is my life thing with the picture of him? That's weird?
He's like cringy and like strange. All the hashtags. I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Yeah. I can buy that part of it, but... I think that when you bring up LeBron, too, and like some of the good things that he's done in society, like I think that LeBron James is the most impressive athlete because of the eras that he's navigated through. He's navigated through the social media era.
Without a hiccup.
Yes. It's unbelievable.
In a society where we want to tear down our heroes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you another. What about Giannis?
Giannis is up there, but then I think he got docked a little bit with the failure comments.
Yeah, that was just bad take.
And followed up. I mean, now he's doubling down on it, too, with these social media videos. That to me, when that happened, I thought, is he starting to trend towards unlikable now because of what he said? Like, you need some sort of context to all of this stuff. And I think Giannis, I still think he's an extremely likable athlete. I'm in the likable camp, but I know some people that are thinking that, he's not as likable as he once was.
I can't stand him.
Giannis?
Yeah.
What would you not stand him about?
It's an on-court reason. I hate watching him charge out of control, just running people over in front of the basket, and then getting fouls called on them. I hate watching it. It's annoying as hell, especially if you're playing against him in a playoff series and he's just running your team over and getting fouls called on your team because he's big. He's out of control, screaming into the basket, running people down, and then they get called for fouls. Makes no sense. I can't stand it.
Oh, God. That's a Celtic fan in there.
But no, I see what he's saying from an on-court standpoint. Officials don't know how to officiate him. They have zero clue what they're doing when they see Giannis on the floor. because his stride length, because of what Shea said, where he can just come barreling down the lane and all of a sudden it's your fault. And you can get into the whole charge block conversation as well with Giannis, but he's the crux of it, I feel like.
I'm trying to think who else would be a star.
Hockey's not big enough. Football, I'm trying to think if there's usually you have to find the fantasy football darlings, too, to find a truly likable superstar. I love Justin Jefferson. I think he's cool.
He's just a great player. I don't know anything about him.
He's doing all the end zone dances and stuff. He's kind of like I think he is a wide receiver version of Joe Burrow. Josh Allen, I think, is another guy that people love. Although I think he's got a little bit of TMZ drama going on now. But Josh Allen's another name I'd throw
out
there.
Hit 4 home runs in a pregame the other day.
I saw that, yeah.
And didn't Saquon too?
No, it was Josh Allen and I think it was Matt Barkley as backup.
Oh, Matt Barkley was there. I just saw on the screen Barkley. I'm like, oh, it must be Saquon. So Matt Barkley. All right, 312-332-3776. We'll have the Cap and J Hood Classic Cut of the Day. A little bit more next.
It's Miller time, baby. We are hitting the road with Miller Lite for some broadcasts on the South Side. This Friday, we will be broadcasting live at Riley's Daughter in Oak Lawn, a South Side tradition. We will, of course, be drinking Miller Lite and getting you ready for the Sox series against KC. It's Miller time at Riley's Daughter.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
All right, Black and Abdallah will be in a few minutes. We'll crosstalk with them. And then it's their show into Carmen Dion, then Waddle and Sylvie, then Jeff Miller, 6 to 6:30, leading into White Sox baseball. Game 2 against the Cleveland Guardians. Time for the Cap and J Hood Chicago Cut Steakhouse Classic Cut of the Day. Jay Moore. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
You're getting married at a destination and people have driven hours to get there. And the morning of, just before the ceremony is set to begin, one of your extended family members in attendance passes away. Obviously, everybody's very shaken up. They were all around for this, but you have a decision to make. Do you continue with the wedding ceremony?
That will be a part in the program. Of course, the program's ruined now because she's dead. But what would happen is that
in your program, Grandma was supposed to speak here. She's very close to me. She just died. So can we have a moment of silence for Grandma?
It's like the Oscars. You drop a screen down and start playing the hits of her life.
In memoriam.
You get Grandma's highlight reel going on the screen.
In your program, there will not be the song Grandma was going to deliver.
That's not what...
John, the passage, John 3:16.
Yeah.
Yeah. Filling in for Grandma. She just passed. Rest in peace. Moment of silence. All right, that's enough. This will be my cousin Morty. We'll be reading the passage from the New Testament. They're passing Sharpies around. You'll want to X out the next presentation here at the wedding.
Cap's running into the kitchen to tell them they don't need to make one plate.
The cream plate for Grandma. Don't need it. She just died.
Save the salmon filet. We're good. She's passed away.
And that's all, folks.
And that is our classic cut of the day. Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. My recommendation for today, I'm going to give you dessert. Mint Oreo ice cream pie. Or their carrot cake. I'm a mint Oreo ice cream pie guy. It is freaking amazing. A
lot of patio days coming up here, too.
Oh, man. Best patio in the city.
A lot of patio days coming up.
David Flom and Matt Moore's Dining Gem at LaSalle on the north side of the Chicago River on a day when the sun is shining and it's warm, you go out and get yourself a lunch or a dinner. It's nothing better. It is my spot, man. It's the greatest. So we've got a few calls we'd like to get in here before we hand it off to Bleck and Abdallah. Our guy Joey G's been hanging out since Christ was a baby. Joey, what's up, man? Joey?
Where's go out to Jonathan Hood and his family?
Yes.
And to the ESPN family there at the studio on State Street.
You're the man.
Hoodie, we love you. We all got your back, like Hoodie said. If I can get this in, Che, correct. Hit the nuclear bomb now on the Bulls. It's got to start with the GM. They got to sell the Bulls. They got to sell the White Sox. Maybe a package deal could be thrown out there.
Why don't you buy him, Joey?
Me?
Yeah.
I couldn't even afford to buy you a beef sandwich at lunch that day.
At Chickie's in Hillside. There you go.
Second of all, my best athlete is Aaron Judge.
He's got the pinstripes, Joey. He's disqualified.
Yeah, they have this Yankee poison pill rule around here.
Then the last one, John Morant, out.
Yeah, I'm
have a nice life in the Canadian Football Basketball League.
If they have one. Joey, have a great day,
he's
man.
He's going to be out.
Have a great day.
Love you guys.
We love you.
Love you, Hoodie.
Appreciate you. 312-332-3776. Jake in Lincoln Park has a good one. Hey, Jake.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are we doing today?
What's up, Sparkles?
Anyways, I just wanted to say, first of all, Jay Hood, how we doing? Boys, how we doing? Now, you guys might not agree with me. My best athlete, I think, Steph Curry. And the reason I think this is because, you know, most athletes who are superstars like him, we've got all the commercials. There's something wrong. You know, there's something that you don't know about them. But I see nothing wrong with Steph. He's an amazing guy. He's an amazing athlete. And I just wanted to hear your take on it. Steph Curry. There we go.
Appreciate it.
Have a great day, boys.
Yeah, Steph Curry is really, from everything I've heard, is an amazingly good person. Mm-hmm. Great dude in the room, embraces the role of being a superstar and all that goes with it. So that is cool to hear. That's a legitimate candidate.
I think that's one. Another one that I just thought of too. How about Dame Lillard? Dame Lillard's another guy that people love, but he hasn't gotten to the finals or anything like that. So he's not demonized as a villain for winning too much. Some people may think Steph's a villain because he's won so much at this point.
Yeah, it's just hard to dislike Steph Curry.
It really is. I'm with you.
It really is. All right, last one, Tim in New Lenox. Hey, Tim, what's going on there, Sparkles?
What's up? What's up, Pumpkin? How you doing?
All good, man. Who you got?
I know he's not as big as he used to be a couple of years ago, but I want to say John Cena as one of the best, most likable superstars. He's done over 200 Make-A-Wish foundations. He used to be one of the best wrestlers. His daily driver is a Honda Civic. I just think he's a stand-up guy.
No way he's driving a Honda Civic around.
Look it up. His daily driver is a Honda Civic Type R.
Good for him.
God bless him. Yeah. If I had that kind of money, he's like a $20 million guy a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not driving a Honda Civic. Sorry. Yeah.
To each their own.
All right, that puts a ribbon on this show. Hoodie will be back tomorrow. Tyler, great job. Thanks for being here.
Anytime.
We will talk to Bleck and Abdallah in 2 minutes. Take that from Chicago.